大家好，欢迎来到中国生物制药热点话题直播间，我是主持人 Brian 杨，Sideline 中国主编，和我今天在一起的有 Dexter 和特邀嘉宾。今天我们讨论两个话题，首先第一个话题是围绕美国国会提出的 BioSecure法案进行了讨论。第二个话题，我们请特邀嘉宾 Ali Hashadaza 先生，他是具有20多年行业经验，先后在高盛任职，目前他是 co-founder 和 CEO of Trehill Partners， 他会和 Dexter 一起为大家讲两个最近的 deals， 一个是 co-founder 和另外一个是 Gmap and Heart。 你有希望看到过去的往期的节目，请在我们的网站或喜马拉雅平台收听。那么，我们就直入主题吧。下面呢，我们进入第一个环节的讨论。第一个环节呢是 BioSecure Act。下面呢，我请 Dexter 来，对，这个向我提问，我帮一起呢帮大家来解释这个 BioSecure 的，潜龙。对行业的潜在影响。
好的，好的。Brian，你之前也写过一些关于一直在跟踪美国它正在那个提议中的BioSecure Act。我们第一个问题就是，那自从3月份以来，目前有一些最新的进展吗？
是的，正如大家所知道的那样，自从1月26号，在这个 BioSecure Act 在美国国会由这个共和党众议员Mike Gallagher 提出以后呢，其实呢大家呢都正如是一石激起千层浪，在随后呢，在3月份呢，又有更多的拜登这个他这个政府呢提出了这个 data transfer 这个 restrictions，所以呢，其实大家都期待下一步会发生什么。我们从目前来看呢，其实有两个一个进展。首先呢，就是4月19号，还有大概1周的样子，这个 chief sponsor of 这个法案的这个国会议员呢，他就是要从国会退休。所以这个呢，他就要把这个职位呢，最新让给了一个新的这个从来自密歇根的这个议员来担任。第二个呢，发展呢是这个 BIO 这个 BIO 这个行业组织呢，最近呢也是最新的他证实他这个 chief lobbyist 游说官也是从这个协会辞职，所以可以看出呢，最新的进展来看呢，这个围绕这个 BioSecure 的这个法案的这些一系列的举动呢，仍在进行之中。
好的，好的。那你认为那个其中有一些最关键的问题到底在哪里呢？
其实呢，我们看到最关键的问题呢，还是要从回头去看它这个法案具体的内容是什么。其实这个法案的内容呢，就是它提出呢，有一些这个 biotech 的这个 sector 呢，可能会 got involved。有一些公司呢，可能会受这些公司会受到 foreign adversary 的这些影响，对这个美国的 biotech security 产生一些不利的这个进展的影响。所以呢，其实呢，我们可以看到它其实有几块具体的一个问题。第一的点呢，就是对这个genetic information 的这些收集。第二个呢，就是对这个 CDMO，比如说是第一部分呢，就是华大基因，第二部分就是无锡药明，以及其他这个这围绕这两块的一些限制，可能出现的一些限制。在最近呢，我们可以看出呢，其实呢，从目前呢，就是在4月份的时候呢，当时呢，就是现在呢，有美国的财长耶伦呢，也在来北京进行了5天的访问。在其中呢，拜登呢，他表示呢，拜登政府呢，也希望 对，才对美国这个 national security 有影响的一些技术呢，进行一些限制因为呢就会影响它的national security，但是呢也不希望对正常的贸易产生一些影响所以可以看出来呢，中美双方呢还在进行新一轮的交涉但是呢会不会？对行业产生具体哪些影响？尤其是在会不会对把那个 Genome 这个基因组学和这个CDM 两块业务剥离在这个法案中体现出来，我们还是需要拭目以待。
好的，那接下来该法案它继续如果想往前推进，还有哪些方式呢？
正如刚才我说的，就是有一种选择呢，就是可能这个法案呢，就是把两部分比如说 Genomic 和这个和 CDM 两块业务两块剥离的话，把这个 CDM 这块呢淡化处理，第二部分呢，可能就是做成两个部分呈现。就是把这个 CDMO 这块呢，整个就分出去。最后呢，可能就是连 CDMO 这块就不提，因为他们一些就是行业人士认为 CDMO 其实对美国这个生物制药的这个行业是影响是蛮大的。如果是包括在进入这个法案的话。所以可以说呢，这几个方案呢，都可能是在table 上。所以具体的哪一个具体的方案，我们会看到最终呢，我们还要看到时间在下一步呢，看看这个具体它的进展是如何。尤其是本周呢是那个这个 chief sponsor 的最后在国会的一周，会不会有新的进展，我们还将会密切关注。
好的。那接下来，除了中国公司，中国的那些生物医药公司，像欧洲的生物医药行业也特别关心这个法案的一些进展呢？
可能我们都知道，其实除了虽然呢，美国是最大的一个生物制药的市场，但是呢，我们更多的呢，出海的过程中呢，也把欧洲市场呢作为一个重点的发展的一个区域，比如说药明康德吧，它在德国和爱尔兰呢都进行了一些大规模的投资，尤其是在爱尔兰它进行了一些 manufacturing 的这个 site 这个投资，所以呢，其实对于药明康德来说，在欧洲呢的投资和建厂，其实是对一个diversification 的一个这个策略所以这样的来说呢，其实如果 BioSecure 的法案包括把这个 CDMO 包括进去的话，对于这个在欧药企对于欧洲在欧洲的投资来说，也是一个不利的影响。比如说是欧洲的药企在跟 CDMO 这些 OCDMO 打交道的时候，会不会也考虑到会 de-risk？会不会也去效仿美国？这些呢，都可能会带来一系列的这个我们叫 domino 的影响。With that, I want to turn the attention to the second part. Dexter, I know you have written about the deals between the Chinese innovative companies and foreign innovative biotech firms. Can you help us to ask Ali about the recent two deals.
Yes, so I'm happy to do it. So Ali, in the past few weeks, I think we have seen two private companies, biotechs with substantial operations in China, acquired by Nasdaq-listed Nuvation Bio and Genmab. So the China the these biotechs are AnHeart Therapeutics and Profound Bio. So could you please explain to our audience that from the perspective of a financial advisory firm, why the deals were successfully sealed? So is it an alternative way for them to go public through acquisition by a public company? Yeah. Ali, please.
Sure. So I think if we look at these in the broader context, in our estimation as Treehill Partners, and we're an advisory firm that specializes in working with companies who are non-US companies looking to do transactions in the US. And that's either accessing capital markets in the US by going doing primary listing, or accessing the market through a reverse merger or a acquisition. I'd say that overall, we have probably 2% of Chinese companies looking to transact in the US are successful. So we're now looking a little bit like turtles on a beach. We're now looking at the two turtles that actually made it beyond the reef. And that's what we're focusing on. We do also need to keep in mind that 98% of those companies are not successful. And I think that's where there's a lot of interesting conversation to be had. I think these two deals are uncorrelated. And I think these two deals are driven by very different factors. I think the Anhart deal, clearly there is a cultural component in the US acquirer with China. You have people who have similar heritage, people who've got a similar view. And if you look at the transaction structure, it's an all-equity deal. Now, for there to be an all-equity deal, there needs to be a commonality of interest. So there needs to be enough interest in the asset to be acquired. Second, it's not a transfer of value where someone says, look, I will buy the asset from you, I will now develop it. It's basically getting into a long-term marriage, saying if we have a common vision, which is difficult to achieve, and we have a common pathway to deliver that vision, we can then share the upside together. So this is an upside play. So when you see an all-stock deal, this is two companies having a shared vision, of which we rarely ever see, because typically the reason why the seller wants to sell is because they have got to a point where they believe that their asset will be better in someone else's hands, and the acquirer will have a different view of where they want to take the asset. So that itself is a very interesting deal. And the interesting component of that is that if you actually look at the board on the acquirer, there are a lot of Chinese origin people on the board. And, you know, we're doing a lot of work with Fosun Pharma at the moment. And interestingly, you know, that cultural connection makes the conversations easier to flow, not from a language perspective, but from a cultural perspective. The Profound Bio deal, I think, is uncorrelated. ADCs have been around for over 20 years. There has been a feeding frenzy on ADCs. It's a very interesting technology. It's been plagued by toxicity issues and specificity issues. But there has been a feeding frenzy. We see this all the time, where there is a certain area that's been around for many years, and all of a sudden, you know, there's either a technology breakthrough or a realization that this is very interesting. And ADCs are running that wave at the moment. That wave has been around since kind of Q3, Q4 of last year. We know that people have been scouting the world globally to find good ADC companies. And if you look at Profound, it has a strong technology. As I always say, science and technology doesn't understand language, culture, or any other barriers. So Genmab clearly has found itself a technology partner, a technology that it wants to acquire. Interestingly, it's been acquired at exactly the phase you would expect it to be acquired, in the sense of it's a company that hasn't yet run a phase two. In a sense of this, a company where Genmab is saying, again, transaction structure will tell you what Genmab thinks. Genmab says, I will pay you essentially for a significant part of the upside today, but I take the technology over and I will develop it in my vision. So this is very different to the first deal, where this is a collaborative approach and sharing the upside together. I think the two are uncorrelated. The fact they've happened from a time perspective, relatively close to each other. Again, I think it's kind of coincidence rather than anything else. In terms of, is this a pathway to access the capital markets in the US? The answer is it always has been. In order to get a deal done between a Chinese company and a US company, there needs to be a number of bridges. One, there needs to be an asset base that is valuable, and both sides feel that there is value there. The second, and this is where we start seeing the 98% of turtles that don't make it to the sea, is that technology needs to be not audited, but needs to be understandable. There needs to be a database or a data room that someone can actually diligence. And I'd say probably 40 to 50% of companies will almost get defensive when you start saying to them, I need to understand your source data, and the source data is in a different language. Then the next component is there needs to be an understanding of whether this is a co-development approach going forward, or whether this is a transfer of technologies going forward. And I don't think we as advisors, I'm talking as a broader group, are serving the Chinese companies in the best way. I think the advisors can be broken down into people who, groups that basically take the technologies it is and go out and ask anyone, are you interested? And then there are very few groups that sit there and they say, look, we know what a US buyer would want. Let us work with you to tell you what the US buyer will want and what you, how you need to be prepared or optimized prior to asking the question.
Thanks, Ali. Yes, you just mentioned that in your opinion, the two separate deals are not very much correlated with each other, but just because most of our audience are based in China and the people are here, they are very excited. They are getting very excited by these deals, and people are just trying to say that, yeah, see that, look that the two foreign companies are acquiring two biotechs. So although these biotechs have although like Enhart and ProfoundBio have just recently moved their headquarters from China to the US, one in New York and when the other is in Seattle. But people are just trying to find, I think they are just trying to find any positive signs in these deals and try to convince themselves that we will see more similar deals happening in the future between China-focused biotechs and foreign companies. So the next question is that Enhart, just as I said, Enhart and ProfoundBio, they have their headquarters in New York and Seattle respectively, but rather than in China, and they still keep a significant part of their R&D activities in China. So do you think that it may add to their appeal to the Nasdaq listed companies, Nuvation Bio and Genmab?
I think I'm going to answer a slightly tangential question, if you don't mind. The building blocks to getting a deal done are exactly the same as whether it's a US deal to a US deal or a European deal to a US deal or a China deal to a US deal. As I said before, science and medicine doesn't understand language, doesn't understand culture, doesn't understand religion. It is based on very simple fundamentals, and looking at one or two successful deals and saying, let me try to emulate that, it doesn't solve the issue for the 98% of companies that won't get a deal done. In order to get a deal done, you need to build a number of bridges. Bridge number one, you need to have proximity to the either funding source or the potential partner. So having access to the US market, so in the example of a Chinese company looking to access the US market or transacting the US market, proximity is important. So in order to get proximity, there's a number that one could do. One could take some of the Chinese team and put them in the US. We've seen that approach. We've seen multiple times where people hire one individual, typically a US citizen, and they bet all of their hopes that one individual can now become the US infrastructure. And we have seen very few companies work with companies like Tree Hill Partners, where we say to people, we can be your plug and play US team, and we can bridge the gap between the China entity and the US entity. There's a couple of things that drive that. One is salaries in the US are a multiple of what they are in China. And two, from a Chinese perspective, there seems to be more comfort in hiring one person and hoping that one person will be the solution. And what we see in probably 100% of those cases is that one person can't be the CEO, CMO, CFO, and everything in one entity, in one individual, and that fails. But then we see them try that again. So the first bridge is a cultural bridge. The second bridge is the drug development approach is slightly different in the US than it is in China. So in order to transact with a US company, you need to understand what they need to see in order to be able to do the transaction. And I think there, having a data room that's prepared, having a management presentation that puts the science into context, having a optimized target product profile that the acquirer can look at, having a clearly defined and defensible FDA compliant clinical development plan is something we never see. So what we see typically is someone present you a wall of science, show you lots of graphs where things are doing really well, and they go, because I've shown, you know, great data, for example, in rodents, or I've got early clinical data, I now think you should acquire me. And there there is a cultural difference. And I think we as a group could do a lot better in preparing Chinese companies to present the great science and data they have to US acquirers. And I think that's where we see the 98% of companies that don't succeed, that's where they can improve.
Thank you, Sandra. Thank you very much, Ali.
Thank you. If I may, Ms. Pasazerda, I really sorry if I pronounce your last name.
No, that's right.
Not the correct way, but I saw you have a really very broad industry experience, including 20 years, including some firms like Goldman Sachs and also other, among other UBS. You mentioned that 98% of the companies didn't make to the mm-hmm. finish line. If there's slight chance, how would you see, because we see some deals are making lots of Chinese companies over the past 2 years, there was thousands of new startups companies. What would you say to them if they want to make a deal with the NASDAQ listed companies? What are some three key elements when they, besides you mentioned the cultural connection, and also the science and data, I mean, from your own experience?
So three factors would need to be. So one is that the drugs that are being developed, if you're looking to translate that drug to a different geography, so if China going to the US or China going to Europe, you need to understand the regulatory framework that you're stepping into. And you need to understand what you need to do in order to be approved in that market. So drugs that are developed in China are not developed to any lower standard, or there's nothing really different to them. But the you need to be very mindful that step one is that you need to have a regulatory framework in mind as of day one, and to to that regulatory framework. And that's not something we see. The second component is you need geographic proximity. So having one person sit in an office in New York and say, I have a headquarters in New York, it doesn't cut it. I think you need genuine connection with the US. The companies that are more likely to be successful are the ones who are running some of their earlier studies in the US as well. So it's not exclusively China data. That way, people get an ability to see data generated in a US institution. They're able to speak to the principal investigators in the US. They're able to speak to some of the key opinion leaders in the US who then validate it. And it's the same process of a European company, for example, accessing the US. The third component is the science on its own is not enough to get a deal done. So generating yet more data is just not a winning strategy. And the conversation that we have, and I would put my hand up and say, I've lost this argument every single time I've tried it, and I've tried it probably 1,000 times over the past 20 years, is generating yet more data just isn't enough to get a deal done. In order to get a deal done, your science needs to have commercial relevance to the person who's acquiring it. So GenMab is acquiring Profound. One, because they've got great science, but because commercially it makes sense to them and they could justify the 1.8 billion acquisition price. So when a Chinese company is looking to make investments, what we see is 90 to 95% of the dollars that go into that company go into generating scientific data. When you say to them, how optimized is your manufacturing? How strong is your patent estate in the US? How many investors have you spoken to? How many FTEs do you have in the US? How often do you go on non-deal roadshows to speak to investors? All of that is seen as subordinate and secondary to generating yet more data. So then you have an incredibly data-rich company, and some of them make the fatal mistake is they then do the phase two. They then do a phase two in an indication that has no commercial relevance or it's a highly crowded market. And then they go to the US, they say, I've got great human data. And the American acquirer says, but that indication is completely overcrowded. So that has no interest to me. So I know you position yourself as a phase two company, but I would need to rerun your phase two. That's why when I was saying about Profound was acquired at the right phase. They hadn't gone into later stage clinical development. So our advice here is the world is smaller than we think. Attending conferences like BIO, attending conferences like JP Morgan in January, possibly engaging with advisors like Tree Hill Partners, where we can say to them from a very early stage, this is the roadmap to getting a deal done. Profound would have been on that road for a number of years before the deal happened. I can guarantee you that the Anhart deal would have taken a couple of years to be on that road, and we see them maturing at the same time. So getting a deal done is a 3 to 5 year process. It's very simple. There's nothing highly complicated around it, but you do need to cross the understand what those bridges are and put those bridges in place and deliver on them year after year to get a deal done. Lastly, when advice is given from someone who knows the US market and says, this is what you need to get done, what we typically find is companies then go and find themselves another advisor who then agrees with them, as opposed to saying, I understand your advice, I will react to your advice. They go and find another advisor.
Thanks so much. Please go on if you have a last, summary
Sure,
here.
sure. So, so my,
Sorry.
my,
Yeah.
sorry, my, my, my point there is that when advice is given, for example, look, this is what you need to succeed in the US, that what companies typically do is they find someone who agrees with their point of view as opposed to adapting to the advice they receive in the US market.
Great. So you don't have to agree with them, but you do have to be independent and provide the critical and the neutral and the well-balanced adversary instead of someone just
Exactly.
agree with you. That's totally, great point here. Again, thanks so much for spending your time with us today. And let's meet switch to our Chinese so we can conclude this podcast. 大家好，谢谢你的收听这次节目呢就到这里。我也鼓励我们大家呢都在我们的博客网站上，在喜马拉雅上继续收听我们的节目。我们的节目往期的节目都在那里。最后感谢 Dexter 和 Ali，谢谢大家。Thank you. Take care. Bye bye.
Thank you very
Bye-bye.
much. Bye-bye.